We all have difficult people in our lives who perhaps hurl insults our way, spew hatred in our direction, or act in some malicious way to us. Do we give them a little taste of their own medicine and get them back for all they've done? Actually, as we'll see today on Sound Doctrine, we're called to love them.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Somebody does you wrong. Is the first thought that comes through your mind, ooh, they're gonna get it. The world would have you believe you have every right to retaliate, but God would have us go in another direction. On today's Sound Doctrine, Pastor Jeff Johnson contrasts the world's way of thinking to what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, turn the other cheek. Now, there is a lot of confusion about this radical teaching, and in a moment, we'll join Pastor Jeff, who will show us what Jesus was really saying. Join us in Matthew chapter 5 for part 1 of Kingdom Living.
All right, we're continuing on in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. We're in verse 38 this morning. And what we're going to do in these last two messages of chapter 5 of Matthew's Gospel, starting with verse 38, I'm going to just simply call this Kingdom Living Part 1, and then we'll finish it up with Kingdom Living Part 2. And you'll get my drift as we move along here. Let's read it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Over in 2 Timothy, Paul said this concerning this individual who did him great evil. He says in 2 Timothy in chapter 4 and verse 14 that Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. And then he says this, the Lord reward him according to his works. Lord, you get him. I heard of an Irishman whom someone had hit him in the face. And he fell to the ground and he got up and he turned the other cheek. And the guy hit him again and leveled him. He fell down, he got back up and he beat the stuffing out of the guy. And this guy next to him said, "Oh, why did you do that?" And he simply answered and he said, "The Lord said, turn the other cheek, and I did. But he never told me what to do after that." We had one of our missionaries. This last month has been tough on the Russia team. They got a lot of persecution over there. I mean, the enemy, you know, it's the whole story of when you throw a rock in the bunch of dogs, the one that yelps is the one getting hit. Well, there's a lot of yelping going on. There's a lot of the gospel's going forth and people don't like it and they rear up. The enemy will even cause physical persecution. And so a lot of the houses are being broke into, and they're saying Americans go home and all kinds of weird stuff going on. Caleb, who's pretty tall now, he's about my height, and this is Jeff's son, was getting off of one of the buses with his two sisters and his mom, and this skinhead just came up to him and just blasted him in the face. Just let, you know, didn't break his nose, almost, you know, just flattened him. And his mom got out the umbrella, back, you know, and just, you know, just to, if that was to come upon you, how would you react? What would you do? I'm sure that many of us haven't been confronted with something like this. Maybe it's something a little different. Our key verse, remember this, is in chapter 5 of Matthew's Gospel, verse 20. Jesus says that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. But the scribes and Pharisees were perfect. They worked full time to be perfect. How can it exceed that? What can exceed what they do? Well, Jesus has given us a whole list of things. How grace abounds. Yes, sin abounds, but grace does much more abound. The law is not for righteousness, and they were using it for righteousness. Remember, he reminds us the law has come to drive us to Christ, to show us that we cannot do these things in and of ourselves, that we've all come short of the glory of God. We've failed. We can't live the Christian life. But I am crucified, Paul said, with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave his life for me, who loves me. So Christ in me, you know, the righteousness of God which is in Christ Jesus is in me, supersedes the righteousness of the Pharisees. This is Christ's fifth illustration to us in this chapter of the perversion of the law by the scribes and by the Pharisees. Again, three things that we need to simply look at that will help us get this in perspective. Number one, what did Moses teach about this eye for an eye stuff? Number two, what did the scribes and Pharisees teach? Did they pervert anything? Did they get away from the word? And then finally, and most importantly, what did Jesus teach us? Jesus, remember, said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life, man." So that's very important. Now, the Sermon on the Mount is becoming more and more challenging as we get to the end here, especially of this chapter, and then it goes on. I mean, it continues to two more chapters. But it gets greater, and really, what is it doing but getting us to the point of being more dependent upon the Lord? Oh, I need Jesus. For all of these things, I fall short. Oh, how I need the Lord. Oh, how I need to be filled with the Spirit. Oh, how I need to depend totally upon him. See, it just drives us to Christ. It's such good stuff. So Moses' teaching was number one, and let's look at that. In Exodus 21, you don't need to turn there. I'll just read it to you. And that simply says, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Now, interesting, this goes on in Leviticus. And let me read Leviticus to you. He says in Leviticus 24:21, he that killeth a beast, he shall restore the beast. If you kill somebody's animal, you restore it. But then he says, and he that kills a man, he shall be put to death. Interesting. This instruction was sort of like when we talked about divorce. It controlled man's excess, his being so hard. See, the law is there to help us. Remember with Job, and when you read about Job, you get that feeling of that Satan is on a chain, isn't he? That he couldn't touch Job unless the Lord okayed it, right? So he's on a chain. Well, what is the law but a chain to mankind? It was handed down to us to control man's excess, his anger, his rage, his revenge. We know it, I think, more so as road rage, right? I mean, that's when you can really see it out there in the highways and byways. You know, that whole thing of, hey, you hit me, I'll cream you. You pull in front of me, I'll cut you off. And I don't get back. I get even, plus I get a little more. And that's man's mindset. There's something that just goes off. It's almost like, you know, words were spoken, and all of a sudden now there's a fist fight, and at the end of the fist fight, there's someone that has been murdered. He's dead. What's going on? I mean, it started out with just a few words. And then we can see that the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. So the civil law was given by God to Moses. And then going on a little bit further in Exodus there in 21:22, Exodus 21, 22, he says, if men strive and hurt a woman with a child, she's pregnant, so that her fruit depart from her, she has a miscarriage, and yet no mischief follows, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. So when God gave his law, it was one of equality. It was a law of equity across the board. If your eye is put out, you don't go to the guy that put out your eye and say, all right, move, you know, put your hands down, I'm going to take your eye out. And take his eye out. I mean, and if a guy knocks your tooth out, you don't say, now, ready, here it comes. You're going to knock out his tooth. That's not what it was all about. And notice this, that what he's talking about here is that something equal to an eye would be extracted, whatever the judges determine, right? So disputes and problems were all brought to the authorities to make sure there was an eye for an eye and no more. Because you know how we are. No, there's going to be more, you know. Because I'm gonna extract it, you know. And the judges said, no, we're here to extract no more. And our laws today are pretty much the same. They're to stop the vigilantism. They're to stop man's revenge. Or, even worse, man taking the law into what? His own hands. It's a horrible thing when that takes place. We've seen it in the past, in the beginning of this country, just 100 years ago. What happens? The second thing we need to look at, and that's pretty much what Moses put down, the Lord laid down through Moses, the law, and why he did it. So the second thing is, what did the scribes, what did they teach? What did the Pharisees teach? And this is what they taught, that each individual was to take this personally. In other words, if somebody extracts something from you, you go to that person and you extract it to them. Ignore the judge. Is really what they're saying. It is our personal right and our duty to mete out revenge. Thus, they took the law and they twisted it for selfish reasons. And they said, basically, it is right to take revenge. And that's how they took what Moses wrote down, what God gave in the law, and brought it into when Jesus confronted them. This is what they were teaching the people. This is what the people were receiving. And Jesus said, no, it's all wrong. The whole thing is wrong. Not only did they take it out of context and twist it, the whole spirit of the thing is wrong. Not right. So, verse 39 of Matthew 5, but I say unto you, okay, let's look what Jesus teaches. But I say unto you that you resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. First of all, let's try not to think about the cheek thing, because that gets tough, man. And God forbid that any of us should be in that position. But man, your flesh is really on the line then, you know, as far as what you're going to do with what this guy coming down on you. In whatever way. But I think the first thing we need to do is look at this. Resist not evil. And turn the cheek. Then we'll look at that. This is not pacifism. And that just means, you know, Christians are just kick back and take it and take it and take it and take it. This is not what he's talking about here. This is not a sermon on ethics as far as how we're to be living our lives. Some even believe that, and they were believing it back then, well, now, if I just do this thing of turning my cheek and then just go ahead and give him the other side, then I'm righteous, right? No, it's deeper than that. It's more than that. It goes beyond the letter. Remember, we talked about this with the thing of divorce. There's a spirit of the law that's involved here that Jesus gets us involved with, and he starts dealing with what? The inner man. He starts dealing with us personally. Inside, our own hearts, how we feel about this, how we react to these things. So it's beyond man's ability. You know, you can say, well, I pulled back and I gave him the other cheek. Yeah, but what was in your heart? I wanted to take his head off. Oh, that was in your heart. But you say, oh, but I turned the other cheek. You know? But see, he's trying to take the out of us. The Hulk within, you know? He wants to minister to that area. So vital. So important. So this whole thing, this whole life that he's talking about is lived in grace and through grace. It's grace received, and then we become a channel of grace. It's grace that is seen by those around. And yet we fail. We fail. We get in the flesh. Yet he never fails. So he says, do not resist evil. Now some look at it like, do not resist evil or the one who is evil. There was a great Russian novelist. His name was Leo Tolstoy. And Leo Tolstoy taught that we are to take this scripture literally. So we're not to resist evil. In other words, we're not to have any soldiers. We're not to have any police. We're just not to it's all unchristian. You just don't resist evil. You let it go. That's interesting. I found out that Gandhi was influenced by this man in more or less a more positive than negative way, because Gandhi knew that there was a need for police and for government. But Gandhi did, you know, say no retaliation. We're not going to fight bullets with bullets. Just stand there. And if they hit you, then they hit you. You take it. And eventually, it took a while, but eventually, what happened? The British were driven out through just no retaliation. Come to find out also, Martin Luther King also was influenced by this man. This whole thing of don't fight back. We shall what? Overcome. We shall prevail. And look at all that has taken place. Look at all that was accomplished in that whole mindset. Great things. But to say no judges, to say no law and order, to say no courts, that doesn't make sense. And here's where we get into these short little sermons that Jesus is giving to us, and we start to understand how they're to be understood. Now, if they all of a sudden they don't make any sense and they don't go according to the other scriptures that we know about, then we know that we're not taking it right, okay? We're not looking at it right. Romans 13 talks about to honor the governments that God has ordained and placed up. He talks about it in 1 Timothy 2, to pray for those that are over you and all those that are in various government positions. Both of these scriptures declare law and order, police, government. Jesus doesn't make ridiculous statements like this Tosky made. I mean, that's ridiculous. So these all stem from the Beatitudes, and I think we need to get back to, you know, seeing where this came from, because there's a foundation that has been built up to this point. Once they have been believed and received into one's own life, as far as poor in the spirit and on and on and on about being me-ick, you know, and having mercy and a peacemaker and just realizing that we are to be hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Once this has been received, there's a foundation for these other kingdom principles that he has been teaching us. Jesus said, only those who lose their lives in me. This is not the natural man, the man who doesn't know the things of God. Neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. You must be born again. But to him who is born again, that's the important part. We're the ones that can experience this kingdom living. Yet God's law continues to keep kind of a cap on sinful man today, doesn't it? And really, as I talk to police officers, that's what they feel, what's going on. They're able to keep a cap on it, so to speak. Oh, it's exploding, and it's not getting any better. But with all of the laws and the governments and the things that have been set up, they're able to keep a cap on it, and we're somewhat safe, aren't we? And oh, how we need to pray for them as they're out there on the front lines. And so some justice has been given out, equity has been given out. Now, some unbelievers look at this thing of resist not evil to say, well, that means you're not supposed to spank your child. You know, it's just not right to spank your child. You know, just let them learn by themselves. And as a whole generation is learning by themselves and not really coming under the discipline of the Scriptures, they're becoming a whole generation of murderers. It's scary. Out of control. No respect. So an eye for an eye until Jesus came on the scene. And then a higher law came in called the law of love. Jesus was our greatest example, and I went and found a scripture in Isaiah 50 in verse 6. Check this out. This is a prophecy concerning what Jesus would do when he comes. It says that I gave my back to the smiters. They would rip open his back, and my cheeks to them that plucked off my hair. I hid not my face from the shame and the spitting. And then going on with this in Mark 14, we see here in verse 65 that some began when they took Jesus into the palace. They spit on him into the Antonia fortress. They covered his face so he couldn't see, and then they would lay blows on him, full force blows. And you know what? If you could see the blow coming, you'd pull back. But he couldn't even see it coming, so he took the full brunt of the blow in the face. And he took one after another. And they covered his face, and they beat him, and they said unto him, hey, prophesy. And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. And actually, you know, the greatest, you know, kind of put down is for somebody to slap you with the back of the hand like that. That was, you know, to be a real insult. So what Jesus is talking about here, what we need to look at is that he's talking about personal relationships. He's talking about an individual. He's not talking as a citizen. Do you remember in Acts 23, verse 1 through 5, and let me just read it real quick to you. And this is the situation. Paul was in the council and he was arrested. And he confronted them. The high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him, because he said, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest said, take him and smite him in the mouth. And they hit him in the mouth. And Paul said unto them, God shall smite you, you whited wall, that sits to judge me after the law and the commandment to be smitten contrary to the law. And they that stood by said, Paul, you're reviling God's high priest. And Paul said, ooh, I didn't know, guys, that it was the high priest, because it's written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. So Paul didn't know, you know, but he came right back into his face, you know. And God, get you whited sepulchre, you know. And he just went off on him.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with us here at Sound Doctrine. Pastor Jeff Johnson has been covering the fifth chapter of Matthew in part one of his message, Kingdom Living. For a copy of today's message on CD, give us a call at 800-353-7553. The suggested donation is $5. Again, we're here to serve you at 800-353-7553. You can also listen to our studies in Matthew's Gospel at our website and through our mobile app. We're on the web at sounddoctrineradio.org, and you can download the Sound Doctrine podcast app in the App Store or get it from Google Play. Look for Sound Doctrine wherever you get your podcasts and at oneplace.com. Here at Sound Doctrine, we're committed to helping you build your life on the sound doctrine contained in God's Word, and we have a special resource to recommend that can help you in that endeavor. It's A Passion for Jesus. This is a collection of easy-to-read daily devotions written by Kay Smith, Linnea Heitzig, Karen Johnson, Sharon Reese, Karen Pulley, Gail Mays, and more. Ladies, you'll be greatly encouraged each day as they pour out their hearts, sharing personal experiences of God's faithfulness. I think you'll find it both edifying and encouraging at the same time. Available right now at sounddoctrineradio.org. Then click on store. Or call 800-353-7553. We're grateful for your prayers and partnership. Together we can help people all over the world have access to sound doctrine in God's Word and grow as a result. You can make a secure donation online at sounddoctrineradio.org. Or again, call 800-353-7553. If you find these daily studies encouraging, we'd like to know. You can email us today at sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Please also mention the station you listen to. That's sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. There's more to come in the Gospel of Matthew, and we'll pick up where we left off next time on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff. May God richly bless you and strengthen you as you live according to sound doctrine. This program is brought to you by Calvary Chapel, Downey. So, Father,